Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Lost Skills Podcast. We help you learn the skills you need to survive modern life. Today's episode is going to be on do-it-yourself septic systems. And the reason I'm doing this is because a lot of people want to have off-grid properties or want to build, you know, have a place to put their sewage from, like, campers and stuff. And I figured this would be a good do-it-yourself project for someone. And, you know, I just, you know, sometimes you just don't want the man to know that you got a drain field. You could use the principles here for other things, such as drainage from rain gutters and stuff. That the drain field part of it would, you could run right off of your rain gutters and use it for drainage in your house. There's lots of different uses to knowing this information. Or you might want to build a little tiny one-room cabin out in the middle of your property somewhere that nobody necessarily needs to know about, and you might just want to put a septic system in there. So, we're going to talk about that today. But first, I'm going to talk about our sponsor of the show. And I don't really have sponsors per se, but I do have people I want to sponsor. I tried getting sponsors and doing all that stuff, and I tried, you know, doing a membership area to make money, and I might go back to the membership area someday, but I'm going to have to get more listeners before I go back to doing that. It's just too much of a headache. So, I'm going to sponsor people. I'm going to sponsor people that I feel deserve it. And I think even if I do get a regular show sponsor, there's always going to be the person that I sponsor. That's just the way I kind of feel about things. I want to do a good deed for someone else. So, today's sponsor is going to be Handmade by Nikki. And she just sent me some soap. I sent her some welding gear because, I can sponsor her. I sent her a welding hood, a welding coat, sweatband. I sent her a few things, some gloves, some welpers, which are welding pliers. I sent her a few things that I had extras of out in my shop that I'm not going to use anymore. I got a bunch of green coats and all that, green welding coats. So I sent some of that stuff to her. She sent me some soap. Perfect barter system. And the one thing about Nikki's soap is it's all handmade by her. It's really nice. And you use it, it makes your ass smell good. It says it right on the label. So if you go and buy some soap from Nikki, it'll make your ass smell good. And your wife or boyfriend will, or husband or girlfriend, we'll like that your ass smells good. So I am going to put a link in the show notes to her Etsy store. And she sells her soap on there, and she also sells it on Facebook. You can look up, I do believe it's Handmade by Nikki on Facebook. I'll try to put a link for Facebook in there, and I'm going to put a link for the Etsy store. And I'm going to do that stuff so that she could get some traffic to her site. But I'll tell you guys, her soaps are awesome. And my daughter loves them. She tried to steal all my soap, actually. So I'm definitely going to end up having to buy some soap, I think. Oh, she also does she also sent me some baby bibs. And she started making welding hats, which is kind of cool. These days, I'm going to have to measure my melon and have her make me a welding hat. I don't really wear one very often, but it would be kind of nice to have it. So I'll probably have her make me one of those. So if you need a custom-made welding hat, you can get a hold of her. Little welder's beanie. And she makes other things. All the different things are for sale on her Etsy store. Yeah. So that's the one thing is, go there, check out her shop, you know, tell her that I sent you, and buy some really cool stuff. Like I said, it's all handmade. It's been handmade in the United States and, more importantly, in Wisconsin. So there you go. Okay. Another thing is, if anybody wants a Lost Skills Podcast sticker, I have die-cut vinyl stickers, really super high quality. You can put them on water bottles, your truck, you can put them anywhere you want, and they don't fade. I think mine got washed through the dishwasher like 40 or 50 times, and it still looks as good as the day I put it on there. I've had one on my truck for like a year. It's been outside through Wisconsin winter and summer, and it's still really good shape. So, yeah. If you want a sticker, they're $3 each. Send me your address. Well, send me an envelope with some money, and I will send you a sticker. Good enough. Maybe I should do a few giveaways for some stickers and stuff. I'll do that one of these days. So that's going to be all. Okay, let's get to septic systems. First off, I guess the best thing to do would be to explain how a septic works. But we're going to talk about poop today, guys. If you don't want to think about poop, that's fine. Think about shower water. Sorry, it's late at night and I kind of just yawned, but I'll try not to do that too much. So, you go to the bathroom, you do your business. You flush the toilet. And I wish I was good at, like, computer animation so I could put a little animated thing on my website to show this. But it goes down through your toilet, down in the pipe, and down the pipe, straight down into your, out the wall of your basement to your septic. It comes into your septic tank, where there is a combination of solids and liquids. Some of it's urine, some of it's dishwater, some of it's shower water, unless you have that stuff diverted. And in there are bacteria that eat your poop, eat your toilet paper, you know, convert your waste into water, wastewater. What it does, and then it's very nutrient rich, and it goes out to your drain field. But the bacteria are poop eaters, that's for sure. They break your poop down into different forms that can be taken out to your leach field. Now, solid little turds don't go rolling down the leach field. There's a baffle inside your septic tank. And what goes out in your drain field is water. Unless, well, liquid. I'll say liquid. But what goes out the other end is usually pretty clean. The solids settle out in a tank. The bacteria eat them. And that goes away. You know, that goes, drops to the bottom of the tank, and liquid goes out the other end. So the liquid goes out the end, it goes out into a pipe. Depending on how old your drain field is, it may go out to a single pipe that's probably about 50 to 75 feet long. Or if it's a newer drain field, it could go out to up to 3 or 4 pipes that are 50 to 75 feet long. Now it's more standardized. There's usually like 3 different legs, and they go off into a part of your yard. There's a few different types of drain fields. There's a mound system where they put the pipe on top of the ground and they mound dirt up over it. And there's just regular holding tanks where nothing goes out and you have to get it pumped out once a year. But for this, we're just going to talk about a standard septic tank and a standard drain field. There is one important consideration that you need to think of if you're building your own septic, and that's the water table. If the water table's super high, like a foot below the surface of the ground, you won't be able to really do a drain field. You'll have to mound dirt up on top. You'll have to do something else. But there's compost toilets, there's all that stuff. The one thing you have to do is you have to find out if your area that you want to put a drain field is good enough. You have to do what is called a perk test. And a perk test is a percolation test. I don't remember offhand the exact numbers that the perk test has to go to, but you could do a quick and dirty perk test yourself. You dig a hole, a foot deep, 2 feet deep. Probably 2 feet deep would be better. And you could pour water in the hole. And if the water goes away right away, it's really good for a septic. If it's sand and you like pour the water in and then it's just like wet sand, there's no standing water, that's the perfect material. If you pour water in there, it stays for a while, but slowly settles out of the soil, goes through the soil, that's good too. If you pour a bunch of water in and the water just stays there and it takes days to go down, that's not a good area to do that. That's a bad area to put a drain field. So, I mean, that's the quick and dirty way I can explain it. If you want to know more about it, just look up percolation test. I remember I looked it up years ago because I had to get my drain field replaced, which is why I know a lot of this stuff. But that's the main way the septic works. Drains down. The water goes through the pipe and it goes down. And it filters through the ground until it gets to the water table. Although some of it does wick up and it evaporates off the surface, but it can't be too close to the surface. So I'm going to tell you how to make a do-it-yourself septic system. I've seen them many ways. I've seen them with IBC totes. I've seen them with blue plastic barrels, 55-gallon plastic barrels where they're tied together. I've actually seen them where someone made a concrete tank, basically in the ground, out of concrete and cement blocks, and they just formed it all up and did it that way, which that would work too. Could definitely do that for a quick and dirty way to do it. But let's just go with the barrel theory. So you need to have a pipe that goes into the barrels. Whatever you hook up to this pipe, the pipe will be hooked up to the building, which hooks up to all your other plumbing. The pipe comes into the barrels. These two barrels are joined together with PVC pipe. You can get adapters to adapt them to the barrels. You can cut holes and glue them into the barrels. You have to join the two barrels together. On the first one and the second one, you cut a hole in the top and you make a lid so that later they could be pumped out. After it comes out of the barrel, it goes into a piece of like 4-inch PVC that's perforated. Well, a piece of 4-inch PVC, and then when you get to the drain field part, which is like 5 feet away from your tank, you have two choices. You can either get perforated pipe and put gravel around the pipe so that it has some, this septic has somewhere to drain. Or you can get the chamber type system, which is what I have now in my drain field. They're more efficient. And if you want to think of them, think of a culvert that's like cut in two, and the rounded part goes up to the top, and it's just like flat on the ground in the bottom, and they snap together. And that is more efficient than the pipe with the holes in the gravel. I have 70 feet of that stuff going off my house. I've not had a drain field issue whatsoever. You could buy those sections. They're like $26 to $30 a section. The sections, I believe, are 8 feet long. It might be 10 feet, but I'm pretty sure they're 8 feet. You could buy all this stuff at your local big box store. We have a Menards in our area, and I bought all the stuff at Menards. But apparently I was told that Menards, you cannot buy the septic tank itself. You could buy plastic septic tanks from companies, which incidentally would make a good fallout shelter or a good septic tank. If you buried them under the ground or in the side of a hill, it'd make a nice place for a cache where you could crawl in and hide out if you had to. Anyway, yeah, basically I've seen the two plastic barrel systems, and if I can think of it, I will try to find some pictures to put with the podcast, or maybe I'll make up a separate thing. I need to do that. Maybe I'll, someday if I ever get to it, I'd like to write an article on how to do this. To do IBC totes, you basically do it the same way. You have to pipe them together. You have to have a place for the pipe to come in, and then you have to pipe them together, and you have to have a place for it to go out. A nice part about IBCs is they already have holes in the top that you can unscrew. The bad part about an IBC is they really get all their rigidity from the cage. And I think that if you backfilled around the IBC and it was empty, you would smush the sides in. I don't know. I've never buried an IBC tote. I don't know. But that's the way I would think about it. You'd have to reinforce to keep the dirt pressure off of it, because the only thing that would be holding this ground from crushing it, only thing to be holding the ground from crushing it would be, the water pressure inside. Oh, I remember the drain field now. It's called Infiltrator, the Infiltrator drain field system. You can look it up. There's a YouTube video. If I remember, I'll put that in the notes too, so you can see how to build a drain field. But, these septic systems are small. You could dig them out with a shovel. You want to have a couple of feet of dirt over the top of the IBC or the barrels or whatever you're using, especially if you're in a cold climate. If you're in a warm climate, say, I don't know, Tennessee, like my friend James, I don't see why a foot below the ground would make a difference. I don't think their ground really freezes there, per se. I don't think it... the frost probably doesn't go that deep if it does. But if you have a good, healthy, functioning septic system, usually they won't freeze up. A lot of times if a septic system freezes up, it's the drain field that freezes. And that can cause you some trouble. But here would be my alternate way to build a septic system. And this is the way I would do it. And I know that this has been done in the past. It's no longer a legal way to build a septic tank. So this isn't my original idea. But I know people that have done it. And basically, you could turn anything you want into a septic tank. I have a friend whose dad, you know, they were out, they were really poor when they were kids. And they have a tank from the tanker truck at the fire department as a septic tank. And I don't remember how many thousands of gallons it was. It was pretty big, but he got it for free because it leaked. And it was fiberglass, and they fiberglassed the leaks up, and they used it as a septic tank. But here's how I would do it. First, I would dig the hole and everything, and I would, I just saw a deer run across in front of someone's truck, guy in front of me. He hit the brakes, and I saw the deer run right past the headlights. Turn my headlights on. I don't want to hit a deer. Me hitting a deer does not make a good podcast. Regardless of what Matt French might think, me hitting a deer is not good podcasting material, because you guys would probably blush from the words that come out of my mouth. Anyway, I would dig the hole. I would pour a concrete slab. And it could be like 3 inches thick. The thickness of a 2x4, 3.5 inches would be plenty. I would make this square, you know, 5x5 or 6x6, whatever size you want it to be. Then I would get 8-inch cement block, and I would block up the walls, make like almost a mini basement. And then I would have my pipe come in, my pipe go out, go above them a little bit. And what I would do is I would pour a concrete slab across the top with an opening so that I could have an access point to this tank. And then I would make a concrete lid. Which, you could do that, or you could put the block up as high as you're going to go, and you could get a piece of steel and bolt it down to the top, and you could make a door that you can expose. The thing is it does, you would, most of the time now they want your tanks to be, you know, watertight. But if you put, depending on where you put your pipe, you could keep the top of the fluid, the septic sewage level below the top of the lid, so it doesn't necessarily have to be sealed. And if it leaks a little bit, honestly, guys, your grass is just going to be a little bit greener there. That's how I would do it. If I was going to build an off-grid cabin, I would take the time, if I'm going to dig it out, I don't think I would mess with plastic barrels. I mean, unless it was a really, really small cabin, I wouldn't mess with plastic barrels or anything like that. I think I would just make it out of block, have the inlet and outlet pipes, and that would be it. One thing I did forget to mention is that the outlet pipe should have a 90 degree elbow that faces down, and it should be like a foot down below the top of the pipe where the opening should be. That way no solids go, the solids float on top, and you want it to pull the clean water from about a foot below the surface and out to the drain field. Most septic tanks have baffles inside them. They're big baffles, the concrete, usually on a concrete tank. And that keeps the top layer from getting sucked into the discharge pipe for the tank. So that's how I would build a septic tank. If I was going to have an off-grid property, you know, a cement block is like $1 a piece. If you use 50 cement blocks, that's $50. You know, the pipe, PVC, put it through the walls, silicone the shit out of it real good so that it doesn't leak. You know, that's what I would do. But the important part is that you have decent drainage in your soil, that you have, you know, that you're deep enough. Oh, one other thing, the drain field, when you lay the drain field, you want the pipe to basically be level all the way out to the end of the drain field. You don't want it to taper too much, because what happens is then it the water rushes to the end, and then it starts to pool, and then it'll slowly pool its way back to the tank. The thing is that when it runs down to the end really fast, it may carry some sediment and stuff with it, and that starts to plug up the end of your pipe. Once that plugs up, it kind of keeps moving further back to the tank, and eventually you have a plugged up septic system. One other thing I will tell you about septic systems is that they almost always end up being root bound. The trees and shrubs will find their way into the pipe, and the roots will go through the holes in the pipes and will start taking the sediment, not the sediment, the nutrient from the pipe, and they will feed off of it. That's normal. There's not a lot you can do. They usually take a cutter and it goes through the pipe. Cut all the roots off. And then they, you know, blast it out with water. But I hope that you guys enjoyed this episode. I got to get back into the groove of podcasting again. It's been a hectic last year or so. And I do want to make more episodes. And as I get time, I will make more episodes. Don't leave. I'm going to talk about some things. I'm going to get back to doing some do-it-yourself topics and all of that stuff. So I hope you guys enjoyed it. And don't worry, we're not going anywhere. Just been kind of slow on getting podcasts made. So I will talk to you guys later. Bye.